Parshas Dvorim, Erev Tisha B'Av, Tovshin Ayin Hei, Beis Tefillah. Ve'eile Dvorim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael be'ev ha'Yarden. Bamidbor, Barava, Moil, Suf, Bein, Paran, Uvein, Toifel, V'lovoin, V'ravon, V'chatzeroyz, V'dizov. Says Rashi, all these places, it's a remez. Moshe Rabbeinu is rebuking Am Yisrael for their chatoim, beremez. What is v'dizov? What is that referring to? Says Rashi, it's referring to Chet HaEgel. They had so much gold, therefore they did the Chet HaEgel. The Gemara in Brachos Lamed Beis Amud Aleph says that Moshe Rabbeinu complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, it's your fault because you gave them so much gold and therefore you caused them to sin. Says the Gemara, mashal to a person who feeds his donkey with karshinim, the strong food, and the animal goes and kicks the owner. Says the owner, who gave you the power to kick me? It's the karshinim that I feed you. So I'm not going to give them to you anymore. Mashal to a person who takes his son and dresses him and washes him and gives him and hangs a purse of gold coins around his neck and puts him by a beis zoynos. Mayasa ben v'royechta. Likewise, said Moshe Rabbeinu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you gave him so much gold, so what do you expect him to do? And even Kodesh Baruch Hu accepted the claim, Sheneemar kesev rebeisi lohem v'zov osu le'egel. But even Kodesh Baruch Hu accepts responsibility that kind of he's at fault for giving him so much gold. Says Rabbi Rucham, from here we learn that every chet has a shoresh, has a source to the chet, the beginning of the chet. Even though they did avodah zara, but it stems from the fact they had so much gold. Likewise, a person in his life has to check himself out and see where do his sins stem from. The Gemara in Tainis, Chof Tesa Mudarev, tells us that the Beis HaMikdash was still intact till the end of Tisha B'Av. It was only Le'eis Erev that they ignited the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan says, if it was up to me, I wouldn't commemorate Tisha B'Av. I would change it to Yud B'Av, because most of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in Yud B'Av, not in Tisha B'Av. So what's the Svar of Chachomim? Says the Gemara, Rabbanon, they say, Atchalto de Paranusa Adifa. But the beginning of the Paranus is Adif. That's when to remember is the beginning of the Paranus, which is Tisha B'Av Le'eis Erev, where they actually ignited the Beis HaMikdash. Because you have to look at the beginning, don't look at the end. Everything is linked into the beginning. The Mashkiach of Lakewood would say, Rav Vachburger, would say that whoever keeps the first halacha of Shulchan Aruch is guaranteed to keep the rest of the Shulchan Aruch. What's the first halacha of the Shulchan Aruch? It is Yizgaber Kari Lamoid Baboiker. A person who, that's how he gets up, he starts his day, Yizgaber Kari, is guaranteed the rest of his day will be good. But a person who doesn't keep the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch is bound to fall in other parts of Shulchan Aruch as well. Yirmiyahu HaNavi asks, Mi ha'ish ha'chochem v'yovin ezois al ma'a obda aretz? Why did the land get destroyed? What did they do? Vayoyim ha'ashem al ozvom es teirasi. Because of the Torah. Explains the Gemara in the Dorim, pei beis, pei aleph. What does that mean? Al ozvom es teirasi? Shloi birchu ba'atoyra t'chila. They didn't say birchas ha'atoyra. So that was the reason. That was the answer Yirmiyahu was given. Why was the land destroyed? Because le'biruchu b'atayra t'chila. But the Gemara in Yuma says differently. The famous Gemara in Yuma says, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of Gibbon Averois. Shvichus Domim, Gira Arayas, and Avodah Zarah. So make your mind up. Why was the land destroyed? Was it because of Birkas HaTorah? Or was it because of the Gimel Averois? So he pricked the Maral and others. Answers Rabbi Tzera Blaza in the Koich Ve'or. Of course, what actually destroyed the Beit HaMikdash was the Gimel Averis they did. But the Gemara was asking, how did they get to that level? How did they fall so much that they were doing the Gimel Averis? Torah has the power of Magna. Torah protects us. Why didn't the Torah protect them from getting to that situation of the Gimel Averis? The answer is, Rebirchu b'Torah Tchila. So you see, there's a beginning. The Chet itself was the Gimel Averis, but it stemmed from the beginning, was very far away from the in the Birkas HaTorah, the lack of appreciation for the Torah. I once saw in the newspaper that a certain boy was taken to hospital with very high fever, and the doctor checked him out, and they discovered he has Chaydaka Ma'arot, a certain bacteria to be found in caves. But this boy hadn't been to cave for many months. A certain bacteria to be found in caves. In a cave. So many months ago he had been in a cave, and now he became ill. So the ministry the health ministry at the put out an announcement, you shouldn't go enter any caves that are unauthorized. Very nice. But we're seeing the same idea. The fact he's now becoming ill is the fact that a few months ago he visited somewhere else, a cave, and became ill. This is a very important message for us, for a pre-Ben Azmani message. If you want our Ben Azmani to go well, you have to check at the beginning. And make sure your day starts well. If we start our day well, this will influence the rest of our day. What does starting day well mean? Get up on time, daven in the minyan properly, have a kviyasita in the Torah, and this will impact the rest of the day. Because we see that the sins we do have a beginning. There's a flaw that may be far away. That's what we have to make sure gets done. A week ago, I met Rav Yoshev's grandson, and he was telling me about his grandfather, Rav Yoshev. This grandson used to sleep with Rav Yoshev in his home, and Rav Yoshev would get up at 2:30 a.m. and he would learn till 6. A very, very strong seder. So he told me that one day Rav Yoshev got up. He was in a good mood. So he told his grandson, You think it's a chokhmah to get up early? You think it's hard? It's easy to get up early. It's not a big deal. 2:30 a.m. He says, you know what's difficult? What's difficult is going to sleep early. That's difficult. Rabbi Yoshua will sleep 9 o'clock. That's difficult. But if you sleep early, it's easy to get up early. Because you have to make sure everything has an impact on each other. Sleep on time, get up on time, start your day well, and B'zad Hashem, everything else will go well as well. Later on in the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks in great length about the parasha's Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu describes how he appointed the Meraglim to be that these representative of each Shevet to go out and spy out the land, and he calls them Anoshim. The Ramban points out there's a discrepancy between the way Moshe Rabbeinu describes the Meraglim in Parashas Dvarim versus the way they're described in Parashat Shlach. Because in Parshas Shlach they're called Rosh HaMatos. It's the Aido. Here they're just described as Anoshim, as people. They weren't regular people. They were the heads of the tribes. Says Ramban, the difference is that then they were kosher. Then it was before the miraculous, before their sin. They were described with their title. But now they're considered to be Rishoyim. We don't want to give them titles anymore. In the Sefer Oznai Torah, he points out how beautiful this is. It's true that we don't want to give them their title. But how does them? Anoshim. And he says, it's not by default. This is a fitting title for us, for them. Anoshim people. Because by definition, a person has the ability to switch from good to bad and from bad to good. That's the definition of Anoshim. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Tes, the biggest tzaddik in the world, who's Mekadesh a woman and says, Hariat Mukdeshes Amanashani Rosha. She's Mekudeshes. What do you mean he's such a tzaddik? We've known him for years, he's a tzaddik. Shema Hira Dvar Avodah Zorah B'Liboy. Could be now he changed the Avodah Zorah. And you have the biggest Rosha in the world, who's done all that Veirah Shebo'ilam, and he's Mekadesh a lady and says, Hariat Mekudeshes Amanashani Tzaddik. She's Mekudeshes. Because he did tshuva. That's the koach of a ish. And that's how fitting it is to call the meraglim anoshim. Because as great as they were, they're people. And therefore, as a definition, as a person, you can always switch from good to bad and from bad to good. The Shach says in Yoredeya, Simon Aleph Sikotin Ches, says the Shach, you have your shoychet. You rely on him. The shchita for you. You have your menaker. The menaker takes out the forbidden fats. And you buy from him. He did shchita for you in the morning. In the afternoon, he went to the church and baptized. The same day. Can you eat the meat they shechted that morning? We now know he's a mumar. He has the din of a goy. Shaila is, can you eat the meat of that day? A guy that the same day he went, he became a mumar. Can you eat that meat? Arabel, would you eat the meat? Huh?
Not in the 9 days.
Not in the 9 days. Good one. Says the Shach, Cheskas Kashrus, can eat the meat. I, the person who became a mumar, say it now. He's an ish. An ish can come a mumar. But in the morning, he had the cheskas kasher. Therefore, you could eat the meat. And the kivege on the page is Nitzayan to the tumim, who says, no, you don't. To the Rashbo, says, no, don't eat the meat. But that's what the Shach says. The Shach paskens, he has a cheskas kasher. You can eat the meat. It's kosher v'yosher. Because that's the power of an ish. So someone came to ask me, am I contradicting myself? The first batar we said was dizav. Everything has a beginning. A chet doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's a beginning to it. They did chet ha'egel. It stems from the amount of zav they had. Right? So if a guy becomes a mumar, didn't happen in a vacuum. There must have been a beginning to it. So how can you tell me you can eat his meat on the same day? What do you say? Is this a stira? One hand you tell me that the chatoim have a shoresh, right? How did they get the gimel aveiros? There's a shoresh. They didn't make birkas haTorah. Everything has a beginning. Right? This guy became ill. He went into the cape. There's a beginning. So how can you tell me that you have a guy who became a mumar and the state you can eat the meat of that morning and pretend everything was all right? How could that be?
Mm-hmm.
So the
was the shorish present at the time?
But he was
wonderful. I agree with your Terence. The answer is that Enachinami, of course there was a shorish, of course he had ideas, but who's to say affected him? At the time he was still keeping, the Cheskas Kashrus tells us he was still keeping, still controlling himself. And a chinami in the afternoon, he decided to become a mumor. But his Cheskas Kashrus says that he was still keeping the aloha. And a chinami in the shorish was there, but it doesn't mean it was impacting him. But in a chinami, of course there was a shorish. On this point, Amar of the Oretz, Shabirchu Batorah Tchila, was it literally? Did they literally, the one didn't make Birchas HaTorah, or they did? What exactly, what was going wrong over there?
It's hard to believe they didn't say Birchas.
Why?
I mean, they had the Nevi'im, I mean, it wasn't like, it's hard to believe that they just, I don't need to say Birchas.
Okay, good.
I mean, literally.
So I discovered the Machlekes Maharal and Rabbi Saul Salanter. Rabbi Saul Salanter in Or Yisrael, in Egeres Lamed Aleph, he wants to understand what type of Yetzer Hara is that not to make Birkas HaTorah. Were they learning Torah? Obviously, yes. Because all the Chazal point out is Birkas HaTorah. Obviously, they were learning Torah, Ba'omo, Be'iyun, the Amenim HaTorah. So, what type of Yetzer Hara is that not to say Birkas HaTorah? Why? What Shver? Did we ever have an Yisrael not to say Birkas HaTorah? Says Rabbi Saul the following. This, we have Mishpat and Choik. Mishpat are things which are logical. Choik are things which are, we don't have a logic for them. Paraduma, Kilaim. There's no logic to them. Torah has two parts to the Torah. There's the Mishpat of the Torah and the Choik of the Torah. There's the logical part of the Torah and there is the illogical part of Talmud Torah. The logical part of Talmud Torah is if you don't learn how to do the halachas, you'll never know how to fulfill the mitzvahs. If you don't learn how to make tefillin, you'll never be able to make tefillin. If you don't learn the halachas of matzah, you'll never come to have eat kosher matzahs. That's mishpat. It's a logic. In every chokhmah in the world, if you want to build something, you have to learn the laws. To know how to get to build something. You want to get the results. You want to be a doctor. You have to learn. You have to go to medical school. Because otherwise you never know how to cure someone. It's mishpat. It's logic. There's also in Torah, there's choik. What's the choik? There's a mitzvah to learn Torah for the sake of Torah. Not because it'll give you knowledge and you know how to apply to practical life. The Talmud Torah itself is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, l'shem Talmud Torah. That's a choik. Now the Gemara says in Menachos that you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that's not a gemar. It's not a finished product. You don't make a bracha on Asiyas HaSukkah. Because Asiyas HaSukkah is not the end of the mitzvah. If you just make a sukkah, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. And as you sit in the sukkah, when you sit in the sukkah, you make a bracha. We don't make a bracha when you bake matzahs, because that's not the end of the mitzvah. The end of the mitzvah is when you eat the matzah. That's when you make a bracha. We only make a bracha on a finished mitzvah, not on preparation for a mitzvah. Now, therefore, they had their Yetzirah. What was the Yetzirah? That they were willing to understand, because Yetzirah makes it hard for us to accept the chukim. mishpatim, when things are illogical, we're fine. That's easy for us. But the chukim, things which are illogical, that's when the Yetzer Hara comes and he makes fun of us. As Rashi brings a few times, the Umay Se'olam mock us about why do you keep Basar Chazir and why do you keep Kilayim? Make fun of us. It's hard for us to tell people that we do things without understanding why. Things which are logical, we understand. Therefore, their Yetzer Hara was that they kept Torah only as a mishpat, not as a choik. They also learned Torah, ba'omol. But it was a mishpat, meaning they were learning the Torah for the logical reason. Why would a person logically learn Torah? Because he wants to know how to do the mitzvahs. You want to keep Shulchan Aruch, you have to learn the Torah. You want to be a doctor, you have to go to medical school. It was all logical. Therefore, but they didn't learn Torah for the choik of the Torah. Therefore, they didn't say Birkas HaTorah. Why? Because for them, Limud HaTorah was only a Heksha mitzvah. It was only a Hechatimtze to know how to keep Shabbos, how to bake matzah, how to be Mekayim Sukkos and Pesach and Shekir Uluv. It was only a preparation. And therefore, it's a Heksha mitzvah. L'shitosam, they couldn't make a bracha. Because you don't make a bracha on a preparations for a mitzvah, only on a Gemar mitzvah. Talmud Torah by them was not a Gemar. It was just a Heksher, just preparation. Therefore, they didn't make a bracha. But really, Torah is a choik. And there's a mitzvah to learn Torah. But we see from Israel, it's literally, they didn't make Birkas HaTorah. But the Maharal says, they did make Birkas HaTorah, but they didn't appreciate it. They didn't appreciate what the Torah is about. And didn't do Simcha, and therefore, that was their chet. That was their chet. And that's the Torah didn't protect them from doing other averas. They said Birkas HaTorah, but without appreciating what it's about. The Mishnah Berurah, in Hilchos Birkas HaTorah says, be very careful to make Birkas HaTorah b'simcha. Why? Because Azdeh of the Oretz. So who does he hold like? Maral. He's discussing when you make Birkas HaTorah, you've got to say b'simcha. Since they had the Yetzer Hara that they couldn't accept the Chayik of the Torah, therefore the Shitasam it was they wanted out to say a bracha.
I'm saying that they came they passed in the Shai, they said no, we don't have to make a bracha.
Yeah, the Shitasenu, since we're not accepting the Chayik of the Torah, so the Shitasenu, we can't make a bracha. That's what Yisrael says. That's why we have a special parasha of Ben Sora Moire. Even that never was. What's the point? What's the point of the Torah giving us a parasha in the Torah? What's special? What's special about Ben Sora Moire? Are we lacking Torah? What do we need it for? That you can learn Torah, Shem Choik, the Shem Torah. There's no purpose to learning Ben Sora Moire, only for itself. That's the might of a special parasha. There's no practical applications. She's just done the Shem Choik. But we see. Machlekes, what did they according to the Rabbi Saul, they didn't make the bracha at all. According to Ramal, they did. They didn't appreciate it. We're about to mourn about Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chaim Shulevitz has a shaila. How is it we live in Eretz Yisrael, which is such a tremendous place? Eretz Yisrael, in this week's parasha, it's called we see Nahara Godol, Nahar Pras. Why is it called Nahara Godol? It's actually last in the list. In Parashas Bereishis, it's last of the four rivers. It's the smallest. Why is it called Nahara Gadol? Says Rashi, because it borders onto Eretz Yisrael. If you border onto Eretz Yisrael, you're called Gadol. Eretz Yisrael is so important. You're the Secretary of State. Kam Choshu. So here it's a border of Eretz Yisrael, you Kam Choshu. Right? So how is it, Asa B'chaim, how do we don't feel? We live in Eretz Yisrael, we don't feel so special. I was just in Lakewood last week. It's such a gewaltig place. It's so gewaltig. It's hard to understand why. So why in Eretz Yisrael? What's wrong over there? It's gewaltig over there. You have so much Torah. We live, huh? We live in Eretz Yisrael. We don't feel the special might of Eretz Yisrael. How is that the case? So Chaim brings them. That Moshe Rabbeinu complained, why is it Yosef's bones can enter Eretz Yisrael and mine cannot? Moshe Rabbeinu is not buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Makara. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Because Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misha Hoida Ba'artzai, Nikva Ba'artzai. U Misha Loi Hoida Ba'artzai, Loi Nikva Ba'artzai. Yosef described himself as an Ivri. Ra'u Yivilonu Ish Ivri. Yosef said, Gunoiv Gunavti Me'eretz HaIvrim. He described himself as an Ivri. He deserved to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But you were called the Ish Mitzri. Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu. So therefore you don't have the merit to enter Eretz Yisrael. What does this mean? It wasn't the punishment. But you have to appreciate. And Moshe Rabbeinu was from his level, there was a certain lack of appreciation for Eretz Yisrael. Therefore he lost it. Sorry? I know, but he should have responded. He let them say that. That's what the Medrash says. He's called Ish Mitzri and he didn't object to being called an Ish Mitzri. But Yosef made sure he was called an Ish Ivri. He traced himself to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Medrash says. Therefore, says Reb Chaim, we don't appreciate Eretz Yisrael enough. Therefore, we don't have the merit to feed it. Because only a person who identifies himself as a Ben Eretz Yisrael, then he can feel all the milas of Eretz Yisrael. The same idea what we saw in the Maral, that the Torah will only, you only get the full might. They said Birkas HaTorah, but why were they not protected from doing the Gimel Averos? They said Birkas HaTorah because they didn't appreciate the Torah. By then it was just a regular chokhmah. They didn't have enough harocha. It wasn't done with simcha, and therefore they didn't have the might of Torah's magna or matzlo. In this week's parasha, in Pasuk Yud Beis, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Eicha esol levadi torchachem u'maasachem u'rivchem." What does this mean? Says Rashi, "Torchachem, they were tarchonim. They made life difficult. They went to Din Torah. They saw they're about to lose. They would say, I want time to bring. I have another aid to bring. I want to add another dayan." They would make things difficult. What called an American filled or something when they were filibuster. They drive the dine with sugar for no reason. Right? Umasachem. They were apikorsim, says Rashi. Which means they were rebellious. What way? If Moshe Rabbeinu would leave his tent early, then all the reporters or newspapers would say, you know why he's leaving early? He doesn't have any shalom bayis. He must have tzaras in his home. Therefore he left early. He couldn't tolerate her. She threw him out. That's what they say. And if he left late, then what would they write in all the newspapers? They would write, why is he late? Because he's making plans against us. Whatever he did, that's what they had at the comment. They were apikorsim. The Medrash says, Shloisha nisnabu b'loshon eicha. Moshe, Yeshaya and Yirmiyahu. Moshe said, "Eicha esol avadi torchachem u'maasachem b'rivchem." Yeshaya said, "Eicha esol azoyna kirya ne'emono." And Yirmiyahu said, "Eicha yoshva bodot." Omar Blevi, it's a marshal for Matronisa, for a noble lady. She had three servants. One of them saw her b'shalvasa. One of them saw her b'prizusa when she was near Vera. And one of them saw her benivula when she was disgraced. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Am Yisrael b'shalva, and he said eicha. And Yeshaya saw her b'prizusa in a chet eicha, and he said eicha yisa lezoyna. And Yirmiyahu saw her in benivula amra eicha yashva batot. What's this all about? Says Moshe Feinstein in the Drash Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshaya and Yirmiyahu all prophesying about the same result, the Eicha about the Chorban. Moshe Rabbeinu saw them Be'ez Shalva. He saw they were acting improperly, the bad midas, divers. Eicha Yisrael Levatchem, Eicha Yisrael the Vadi, Torachem, Umasachem, Rivchem, the way you behave. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was prophet, I see the Chorban. Because if you have such bad the way you behave, it's going to lead you to do Chatoim. That's the next stage. Therefore, Yeshaya, when he saw them doing the Chatoim, he also says, because I see that the Chatoim are going to bring to Chorban. And the end, Yirmiyahu actually sees them after the Chorban, and he says, Eicha Yoshva Bata. Because it's all, one brings the other. Bad Midas bring to bad Chatoim, and bad Chatoim bring to Chorban. They have to work together. Therefore, they're all prophesizing in different stages on the Eicha, on the Chorban. It's the same, it's in that what we said before. The Yav Chatoim, they have a beginning to them. But the beginning is going to bring about, if you don't stop the beginning, it's going to bring about the Hemshech, which in the end will be a Chorban. And therefore says Rav Moshe, even though things are going good, things maybe Shalva, things are going well, but we have to have a Pachat, because we don't deal with our Midas, it's going to bring us to Chatoim. We don't deal with the Chatoim, it will bring us to Chorban. It's something you have to be careful about. Last week, I was in someone's house, and there was a book. So I opened the book. It was a book about children of the Holocaust. I was randomly opened one of the chapters, describing a child from the Holocaust. Obviously now grown up, describing her, what happened to her, and she was describing how she and her parents were hiding in a village, to escape from the Germans. And one day, her father takes her to go shopping, and they come back, and they see there's a German van by the house, and their mother's being taken. But they survived because they weren't at home at the time, and she was taken with her father, and she's describing her childhood, brought up, she was adopted by Goyish families, and she grew up part of the time in a monastery. Right? But both she and her father survived. They used to visit each other. Survive the war. Then she writes, I don't know if it was the right decision. She told her husband, after she got married after the war, not having children. I said, I love children. I'm very fond of all my friends' children and grandchildren. But I decided to inform my husband, no children. Why? Because since she had such a difficult childhood, she was afraid it would impact her children. And therefore, since she loves children so much, no children. I felt so bad when I read that. My mom, it hurt me more that part than to hear that her mother got murdered. Why? Her mother got murdered, my father. The Germans came and killed her, my father. Here, she decided to do what Hitler wanted. She cut. There's no Hemshech now. That's it. She survived the war. She could be Mamshech her parents. And she didn't. She decided not to. I can't criticize a person who went through a difficult childhood. But the Meister, she decided to stop the Hemshech of the Jewish people that she's, all the Doris that she's coming from, she decided to stop it. Because that was it, and that's it, no more children. In certain aspects, she's worse than the judge. Then, what happened to her mother? Her mother got killed. Right? Well, what can we do about it? But she decided herself. Are we better than her? Are we any better than that lady? Says the Nefesh HaChaim in Shah Aleph Perek Dalet, Ha'ish HaChochem should be afraid. Liboy Yochil Bekirboy Verodo Aliboy. When we realize that the power we have, every Jew has the power. Every mitzvah we do, we're building olamos elyonim. We're influencing all the upper worlds. And when we do our veira, we're destroying the upper worlds, the spiritual worlds. And he says, we have more power to destroy than Nebuchadnezzar and Titus did. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar and Titus and Hitler have no power whatsoever in the upper worlds. All they can act is in the lower worlds. They have no power to make a gam. But us, when we do a chet, we are kivyochol, we are making a gam in by a Kodesh Boruch Hu, in the base of Migdash HaElyon. Because the Gemara says that when Titus entered the Heichal, he felt very haughty. Oh, I'm so strong. And the Yotzer Baskon said, ha, you think you're destroying the Heichal? You're burning a burnt Heichal. And you're killing a killed a dead people. And you're grinding grounded flour. Meaning, it's all they did was, we destroyed the base of Mikdash through our actions. We destroyed the spiritual Beis HaMikdash. Once we did that, it was just physical, and therefore it was a burnt Beis HaMikdash. And he brings the Mishnah says, Da Mala Mala Mimba. Whatever's happening is an upward is from us. So the Maisa, we are like that lady. Koldor, Shoinivra Beis HaMikdash, Kirunecha Vyomov. Who destroys the Beis HaMikdash? Us. By our deeds, that we are the ones who are destroying the Beis HaMikdash. And we are the ones who can build the Beis HaMikdash. That's our power. The Mesillas Yesharim says, how could a person daven for rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash? If all the Dora is to have daven, they weren't answered. Who am I to daven for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Shorim, Adam Nivra Yechidi. You have to pretend that you have to view the world as if you're the only, the world's made for you. And therefore you have to daven. And this itself gives Nachas Ruach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every person has there what they need to build. And if we don't build it, then we ourselves are destroying it. We see that Tisha B'Av, we start Shiva, immediately after Tisha B'Av, we start Shiva de Nechemta. The Haftaras, which leads us to Rosh Hashanah. There's no break. From Tisha B'Av, we have a direct connection to Rosh Hashanah. There is no Ben Azmani. What's the connection to Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah? So I once heard, in fact, Tisha B'Av is the beginning of Tshuva. Tisha B'Av is the beginning of the Tshuva of the Rosh Hashanah, of the Yom Kippur, and of the Sukkot. Just the flip side. We may notice, on Tisha B'Av we don't really do, how could that be? We don't do Tshuva on Tisha B'Av. We don't say Al-Chet. What do? We just sit on the floor and say kinnas all day. Where's the tshuva? The answer is, we must realize the importance of Kirvas Hashem. During the year, we forget about the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We sin, we don't do mitzvahs. On Tisha B'Av, we sit on the floor and read kinnah after kinnah, tzara after tzara, mothers cooking their children, people being killed, blood, endless blood being spilt, and we just read more and more and more and more. And the message we need to take is to realize the chisaron, the vacuum of richuk from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the message with the yearning that should be awakened. Wow, it's so chaval, we're so far. Look what's happening to us because of our distance. We've distanced ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This should awaken in us. And will, let's come back home. That's when Tisha B'Av itself starts the Nechama. Right in the afternoon, already sitting on chairs. Manishtana, what happened? Because we're realizing, wow, let's come, the Rosh saying to come back through that we see all the tzaras is the beginning of the Nechama, and it will eventually bring us to Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur, to Sukkot, to Shmini Atzeres. It's the flip side, it's the vacuum, recognizing the vacuum which will bring us the will to come closer. Yehi Ratzon, indeed, we should be zoicha to recognize and will and desire and yearn to come back to Kodesh Baruch Hu, fix up the chatoim from the beginning, from the Sheroshim, and we should be zoicha to the Nechama. B'zad Hashem, in 5 minutes time we have our next shir, and we'll discuss, is Tisha B'Av a day off? Is it holidays from Torah? Or is it still Chiyuv Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av? Or is it a day off? Yisha Koyach, thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.